A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, in Exodus 5 verse 2, Pharaoh expresses a sentiment that it's like the mindset probably of a lot of people in the world today, certainly of some leaders and persons of authority. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Well, part of the reason that we do Exploring the Word is because, like Pharaoh of old, there are people who know not the Lord. But God wants them to be saved, and we want people to know the Lord, and that's why we do the show. And we're so honored that you're listening. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 5, and we'll look at Bert, not only it's a very interesting story, but it's really some of the most pivotal times of history, I think. And I feel like Exodus has a lot of value for us to read and understand.
It does, Alex, and it is pivotal. It is. We're going to be introduced to the Passover. We're going to be introduced to so many things here in the book of Exodus. The Ten Commandments comes out of the book of Exodus, and it is an awesome, important book, Genesis, Exodus. I want to tell you, the Bible starts off strong with two strong books. All of them are the Word of God. But Genesis and Exodus, they've got something in them that it sets up the rest of the Bible in so many ways. And here in chapter 5, we find this meeting between Moses and Pharaoh. And we're going to see some reactions. Moses is going to do what God has told him to do. Let my people go. Now, that's the phrase, let my people go. And their answer is no. And I love what you said, who is the Lord? And I love what it says in verse 3, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, Alex, just look at that. That is powerful. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. That's a personal testimony. It's a declaration of strength and courage and power. And the whole idea, have you met with God? Have you met with Emmanuel, Jesus? And so in a way, it's a powerful tool talking about our relationship with God, that he is knowable and we can know him. So here it is. So this is what they said to Pharaoh. He rejects that outright, plainly, and he even reacts because of 3 days, which would be to worship, 3 days to get there, 1 day to worship, 3 to get back, a whole week. He said, no way. And that was Pharaoh. He did not believe that this God of the Hebrews would be more powerful than the 80-plus gods that the Egyptians worshipped, Alex.
Well, you know, the God of the Hebrews, I love in the New Testament, the book Hebrews 8, verse 11, talking about when Christ finally comes, you know, it says, "No one will say, 'Know the Lord,' for then they all will know me from the least to the greatest." Now we are to be saying to people, "Hey, come, know the Lord." But I've always thought that was just so telling. So, you know, Moses, he's got Aaron to help him. He's got the miraculous rod. He's got at least a measure of courage. And they go before Pharaoh. "And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." You know, Bert, at this point, the request is fairly innocuous. You know, we want to go sacrifice to our God. So I got to ask you this, Bert. Was it just that the slaves would get 3 days off? Was it that they had a God other than the gods of Egypt? Or was it that his authority was being undermined in that, you know, the great divinity over Egypt was having to subordinate his will to the true and living God?
Yes. And yes, I believe that with all my heart. He wanted them to work. He's going to prove that. If you can take off that day, we're going to make you do more. You don't need that. He was threatened by the authority. Let my people go. Listen, that's a demand. Let my people go. It's not, okay, if you will, let my people go. No, let my people go. So there's that threat of authority over him. And then the God of the Hebrews, he was unknown to him. That's what he says. Who is this Lord? I don't know him. And he may not know him even later on, but he's going to know about him, and he's going to know he is real. And so, Alex, I think all three of your possibilities are real.
Yeah, well, one of the hallmarks of truly having the Holy Spirit and being, you know, willing to be led by God is humility, which Pharaoh doesn't have. Again, verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He says, this is his admission, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us." You read this. "Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Bert, in verse 3 there, you know, I don't think God was going to fall on the Jewish people with pestilence at this point because they were trying to obey, you know?
Right.
I mean, they were willing to obey. Their inability to go and worship God was not due to their own heart. It was due to Pharaoh's stubbornness. And he "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you to under your burdens?" Verse 4 is as arrogant. In other words, who do you think you are coming in front of me? How in the world do you think you have the right to make this request? Get on back to the job site and resume the slavery. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what that's his retort, isn't it?
It really is. And let me just say something I noticed that I'd forgotten. Moses leaves a little ending on this. He doesn't say, "Let us go 3 days' journey in the desert." Now, and he didn't say, "And then we'll come back." Okay? And God had told him, because God's going to deliver them. So he does not go and say, "Let us go 3 days in the journey." Now, whether Pharaoh picked up on what Moses did not say, I don't know. But anyway, but I love the way God told Moses to say this. "Let us go 3 days into the journey away from here," about 60 miles it would be. But I agree with you. Get back to your labors, the way New King James, get back. It was sarcastic. It was filled with sarcasm. "Who do you think you are?" as you said. And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now." Now, that is a big statement. God had multiplied them while they were there. And there was some fear going on about the Hebrews and how many they were. And you make them rest from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmakers of the people and their officers, saying, here's what he said, you shall no longer give people straw to make brick before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of the bricks which they made before. In other words, they're not less, the same amount. You shall not diminish it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Now, again, they're not saying that at all, but Pharaoh, being who he is, and Alex, you have said it, arrogance on display, as he would display this, and he said, who do you think you are? This is what your request. I am going to do right the opposite and make it worse for you than when you came in. So that was Pharaoh's reaction, wasn't it?
Well, yes, and there's a phrase here. You know, we often talk about idioms, I-D-I-O-M, or sayings or colloquialisms that come out of the Bible, like, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, and, you know, till kingdom come. Well, here's one, bricks without straw. You shall no more give the people straw to make brick. This is verse 7. You know, I've heard that phrase. Maybe people don't hear it as much, but bricks without straw has become a euphemism for a task that is really hard, backbreaking labor, and you don't really have all the tools to do. And, you know, the clay they used, Bert, I've read in commentary, somehow or another, the way that the clay would dry and harden was related to the straw in the bricks. And the straw would absorb some of the moisture. And not only were the fibers of the straw, it was almost like if you've ever seen them put rebar in concrete. Well, the straw fibers in the brick added strength, but it made them cure out faster and more evenly. And you had better bricks. But to make bricks without straw was more time consuming. The final product was less quality. And this is one of those biblical sayings that has become part of our vernacular. You know, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm making bricks without straw. Maybe you don't hear that phrase every day, but it's come to mean you're being tasked with something that's near impossible to do.
And he demands that of them, and he goes on and says, let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be diminished. Now listen to the reaction. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. There's going to be a price there. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work. Your daily quota is when there was straw. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Now, Alex, here's what is demanded. Do you think there will be a reaction to what they're asking the Hebrews to do? Do you think they're happy with this now that they're having to go gather straw, they're having to do as much? This may be difficult for them to swallow, isn't it?
Oh, it's hard. The people were scattered. You know, verse 11, go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. The quota does not go down, but we're going to make it harder. And so the people had to go and scatter about and try to find straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. This is just cruelty, isn't it? Now, there were no... OSHA didn't exist back then. Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration. There weren't any rights in the workplace.
They didn't have a union, did they?
No, they didn't. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster has set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task? In other words, why don't we have the bricks today as heretofore? You know, Bert, I've read heartbreaking stories about the sweatshops in foreign countries where people literally work till they drop. There was a famous story in the news a couple of years ago that A woman bought an expensive purse that was from China, and in the zipper pouch, a worker had written a note and said, "Whoever gets this, please help us. We're being worked to death. Please help us." Abuse of humanity and taskmasters, it exists now, but it really existed back in the ancient world, didn't it?
It did, but yet this is part of what the border crisis is about that, honestly. People trafficking, you know, and so that's slavery as well. We still have it even today. Hey, we'll be back with more of the Book of Exodus right after the break. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Amen. We love that song. Matter of fact, when we have the call-ins, we want the Bible questions, but there may be some people out there that have some deep, deep prayer needs. We'd love to hear those today and pray for you. And so remember that. We've done that quite a bit on Tuesdays. Not all the time, but we try to remember that and do that off and on Tuesday. By the way, Alex, guess what?
What's that?
Exploring the Word is on X.
X. Oh, you mean formerly known as Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
X. So we're streaming on X. Well, that is awesome.
Yeah, on Facebook. We've been having trouble. Yeah. And then we do the live stream. And that's the one, you know, we, a few months ago, we would get kind of, before Facebook changed up their guidelines, they got canceled and put into timeout, you know. And so we developed live stream. So we have that as well. So X, mm-hmm. Facebook, and live stream. But I love that. Exploring on X. So yes. We can remember that one, you know.
You noticed that. That was good pun. Exploring the Word. But, you know, I'm just thrilled that people can watch and hear the content. And it's not about us, but it is about God and His Word. Hey, by the way, I'm going to give the number. We're not going to get to calls till after this segment. But write this down and get in the queue. Tuesdays are special. I'll tell you why. But the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you in that next segment. But also prayer requests. On Tuesdays, we tend to pray most weeks. And if you've got a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you on that. And we'll agree with you in prayer. But before the break, we were talking about how the taskmasters, at the behest of cruel Pharaoh, were making the people work. They did not let them have any straw. The people go everywhere to try to find straw, and they're still berated and beaten because they're not making their quota. And the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? You know, we're your slaves. Why are you treating us this way? There's no straw given to us." They say, "Make brick." We're being beaten. Verse 16, "Thy fault is with your own people." Pharaoh, if the bricks for these magnificent cities aren't getting cast, and if the quotas aren't met, it's not us, but it's your taskmasters. But Pharaoh says, you're idle. You are idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 17, Bert, this is not the first time an unbeliever has judged the motives of a believer. In 1 Samuel 17, Eliab said to David, I know your heart. You just want to come watch the battle. Who's watching the sheep? And, you know, I've had my motives impugned. You know, who do you think you are to be an evangelist? Why didn't you just get a real job? I've had people I knew and even a couple of relatives ask me that. And Pharaoh says to the Israelites, you don't want to go sacrifice in the wilderness. You just want to stop working because you're idle. That word there in verse 17, he's calling them lazy, isn't he?
He really is. And so he is going to respond and say, go and work now, for no straw will be given you. I'm not going to change that. What I said, I said, you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not diminish any bricks from your daily quota. Now, here's their mistake. They should have gone to Moses and Aaron first without coming to Pharaoh, but God's going to use this. The whole thing that happens here, each person is responsible. The people are responsible for wondering about, I didn't know we were going to have it this hard, you know, when Moses and Aaron showed us that we could be let go and delivered. And then we find out everybody's making bad decisions here. And as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron and stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in your hand to kill us. This is quite different than what happened when he first started and shared with them over in chapter 4 all the things that God was going to deliver. A lot of times, Alex, between the promise and the deliverance, there's muddy water. I'm just using in that term, you know, difficulty and hardship. So the deliverance is coming, but it's not going to be easy for us, the children of Israel, right now, is it?
No, it isn't. And chapter 5 concludes that they are demanded to go back to work, and they are treated evilly. And they said, the way the King James renders verse 19, the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, you shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. In other words, don't diminish. The officers saw to it that the work was made harder. And Aaron and Moses are going back to see Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Now, this is the people that are basically, they're being critical of Moses.
Moses, oh, do you think this is going to be the last time?
No.
Okay. I'm being facetious.
You remember that old saying? Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Moses is doing right, and when it doesn't immediately work out, God's leader is getting blamed.
They do. So what happens in verse 22? Let me read that, and you go back to your comment. So Moses did what? Returned to the Lord. Now, that's always good, return to the Lord. He was headed to Pharaoh. He said, no, I don't need to go there. I need to go to the Lord before I have this. Lord, why have you brought trouble in this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Now, again, here he is, this reluctant leader. It not working out exactly like he hoped it would, but God is still at work. Just because it doesn't work out at the beginning doesn't mean God's at not work, does it, Alex?
Well, let me just say this as a word of encouragement. Maybe listening, you're a pastor who's led a capital campaign for a building program. Or maybe you're leading people on a mission trip or whatever. I know that along the journey, sometimes when you cast the vision, it's all accolades and cheers. But then when you get in the work, sometimes the people mutiny a little bit. Yesterday, I said that one of my core beliefs, and I think the Lord gave me these things as I went along, but the limitations of the sheep are overcome by the power of the shepherd. But another one of my things that I've realized is before the prize comes a price. Getting to the promised land is a great prize, but before that, there would be a heavy price to pay. Just like with anything, building a building. Bert, I was preaching at a church near Chapel Hill, North Carolina, February of 24. And anyway, a couple people said, we're building this addition, and I can't believe we're doing this. It's costing money. And we thought it was a good idea, but oh, we wish we hadn't have done that. And the pastor kind of looked at me, you know, sympathetically, like, pray for me, Alex. And not long ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I talked to him, and they're about to have the ribbon cutting. It's great. A ribbon cutting on a brand new building is a wonderful thing, but the hard work of getting the building done and raising the money, that's not exactly the same here, but they're basically, you know, getting out of bondage is a wonderful thing, but before the prize of freedom and a promised land, there's the price of staring down Pharaoh.
Alex, let me interrupt here. Nehemiah is the perfect example. He came
and did it. Yeah.
And he had opposition, you know, all those, Tobiah, you know, they all came against him. But, you know, the roughest time when it was halfway finished. Halfway finished. Mm-hmm. Here it is, too far gone to turn back, and got as far to go as you've come. Halfway is always difficult at that time, just like when they was crossing the Sea of Galilee. Guess where the storm came? Halfway across, when they got halfway across. So those of you that have started a task that God has given to you, expect that. And when you're about halfway there, expect some hardship and difficulty. The Bible shows that again and again, that those things would happen, Alex.
Well, one last little quote, and then we'll resume chapter 6. But Magellan, the great navigator of the seas, he said, if you want to discover new lands, you have to, at least for a while, be willing to lose sight of the shore, you know, crossing an ocean. And you're right, the hardest part, perhaps the most dangerous part, is when you're halfway there. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. Not only going to release you, just hang with me, Moses, Pharaoh's going to drive you out. Isn't that something? God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord.
Amen. Is that a reminder, Alex?
Verse 2. Aren't those four wonderful, comforting words?
They are.
I am the Lord.
I am, and it goes back to his calling. I just want to say this. I've been there. Alex, I feel probably you have as well. I know our founder, Don Wildman's been there. At some of these times of criticism, of difficulty, and all the things, what you go on is the calling that God's put upon your life. That's why we believe called into the ministry. You don't, I believe I'll try that preaching. I think I'll try that pastoring. I think I'll try that evangelism. God is calling. And sometimes when the difficulty comes, we have to go back, and God reminds us. Do you remember that time, Bert, when you were in school and nothing was going right, and you're saying, what is it? And I said to you, because you're not following what I have called you to do. And so, Alex, God, I love that. You're exactly right. I am the Lord. It's challenging, it's comforting, and it's remembrance too, isn't it?
It really is. And folks, Almighty God, he is able. And God goes on and just has to gently remind Moses of some things. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So God is reminding Moses of who he is and the promises he's made and his word that he invariably will keep. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Isn't that wonderful? Now, fortunately, none of us are going to be slaves in Egypt, but we have other things that causes our heart to groan. And the beautiful thing about it, our merciful Savior hears, and he's able. Bert, I love this in verse 5 of Exodus 6, that God is aware of where we are in the journey. God sees, God knows, God hears, God responds.
He heard and he remembered. And what he does here, I believe he says, Moses, Abraham had a special relationship with me. Isaac had one. Jacob had one. They knew me as God Almighty. But you know my personal name. Listen, and it is, it changes here in that, and it's the covenant name of God that he said, listen, I've got this in you. You and I, I'm going to see you through, and I agree with you. He does remember that. I love that. I heard you, I remembered. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Say to them what I've said to you. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue from your bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, Alex, you're going to see this repeated. I will, I will, I will, I will. God says, yeah, it's not, I'm doing it now, but I will. Trust me. Walk with me. Stay with me. Don't throw in the towel. Don't back out. And here said, when you get through, you will know I am the Lord. This is powerful verses of a promise, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And he keeps his covenant. The word there in verse 5, covenant, which is such a rich word. And there's not only the salvation covenant of the believer with God, there are other covenants in life. Marriage is a covenant, and we are to keep our vows in that regard. But God keeps, and the biblical God, our Savior, he keeps his word. That's why how you feel and your relationship with God, it's not based on emotions, but it's based on God's word, because God cannot lie. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people. Bert, look at these verbs, bring you, rid you, redeem you, take you to myself. I am the Lord your God. I'm glad that God is still acting in the lives of those who trust him.
Amen, God is, Alex.
God is still convicting you, making you aware of your sin and your need of Jesus. God is forgiving you when you put your faith in Christ. He is regenerating your spirit, and you are made alive. He is indwelling you. As long as you're alive, Christ is with you forever. He is indwelling you, sealing you, growing you, guiding you, using you, protecting you along the journey, instructing you. Hey, we have a God that acts and interacts in our life and circumstances.
Hallelujah. Verse 8, and then we'll close. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Give us a call with your prayers, your question, 888-589-8840.
If you could use just one word to describe AFR, variety would be accurate. You can go from one show that shines light on what's happening in Washington, D.C., to another that takes you deep into understanding God's Word, to yet another that shares how God is working through missionaries to other countries. And that's just scratching the surface. But in the variety, there's also unity, because everything you hear on AFR works together to fulfill the Great Commission. So if you just found us, or if you've been too busy to listen much lately, here's a sample of what you've missed.
They have no ability within themselves to self-correct.
Standing up for the truth matters at every turn.
James Comey was an enemy of Donald Trump from the get-go.
Don't worry, you can always go back and catch up with the podcasts at AFR.net. And no matter where you go, we're portable. If you can't listen on the radio, use our app. Catch us on Roku or ask Alexa. We're glad you're here. Thanks for being part of the family. American Family Radio.
I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. Not because we're worthy, but all because of God's mercy, our debt is paid. Well, this is Bert and Alex exploring the Word. We're going to take phone calls and Bible questions. Now, here's that number, toll-free nationwide, 888-589-8840. If you've got a question or a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you.
Amen. Well, we're ready. And again, prayer requests, Bible questions, we take them on Tuesday. And we're going to get straight to the calls and go to Virginia. Ann, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a quick question that I just want you all to respond in general on, I guess. It's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And is that a thing? Is it an event? Is it just something that all Christians have when they become a Christian? And if that's the case, why do we not see more power within the body of Christians from the Holy Spirit?
Okay, Ann, thank you for your question. We get this, there's baptism. There's the physical baptism into water, and that was true. But there's other scriptures about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Alex, if I understand the scripture, it takes place at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is at the point of salvation. Would you say so as well?
Yeah, I really think, you know, the key verse that has that phrase is 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you are born again, through faith in Jesus, you are baptized into Christ, Galatians says. 1 Corinthians 12 says you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that different groups of different believers have different emphases on the different works of the Holy Spirit, but we are indwelt, infused with, sealed by, baptized in the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, Bert.
Wait,
and
really?
Let me just say that back to that 1 Corinthians 12, one body, just like you've got fingers, toes, hands, feet, arms, legs, eyes, ears, you got a lot. There's a lot of parts to the human body, but there's one body. There's a lot of parts to the church, but there's one body. And that's why if maybe your church sleeps in the pews or maybe you jump over them, but we're part of Jesus, the body of Christ, and we need to love each other as one body.
We really do. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find out as the Word of God comes into a city and then they start worshiping, the Word of God becomes so prominent. And that's what we have today. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're to preach the Word. And when God needs those miracles, those works that he does, Alex, I'll put it this way. He does it more in the frontier mission field than a lot of places, especially those where the Word of God hasn't been translated yet and they're seeing the power of God. I'm just throwing that in. We'll cover that in a I'm going to do an Alan, Alex McFarland. We'll cover that in a later date. We need to do that and talk about that, Ann. Thank you for your call.
Let me encourage. Pastors, teachers, Sunday school leaders, do some teaching on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, really. And the Spirit of God will work and manifest as much as your church and you personally allow him to. Amen. And two books I want to recommend, and both of these people are top drawer. There's a book by Billy Graham. It's just simply called The Holy Spirit. And I truly think Billy Graham did a magnificent job teaching on the person and ministries of the Holy Spirit. Get that book, maybe go through it, The Holy Spirit. But the other, by E.L. Towns, Elmer Towns, great scholar. He's well into his 90s, and he's a family friend, but he's was the Dean of Liberty. But he wrote a book called The Names of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. So teach on the Holy Spirit. Christians need to know.
And he is our paraclete, our comforter. He comes. And listen, we better go on. We can stay all day on that. And thank you for that great call. Let's go to Ohio. Tanya, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me. So I have a prayer request. I have been battling stage 4B recurrent uterine cancer for 12 years. I have had a miracle, lots of miracles, actually. This last time it came back, I had 8 or 9 tumors, and I got prayer and anointing at church after taking a 1-year break from any treatment. And my oncologist, who is the chief medical officer at the James at OSU, he came in stuttering, and he said half of the tumors vanished.
Amen.
Praise God.
So I have 4 left. There's one on each side of my liver. There's one in the belly fat and one on the left side muscle of my abdomen. That one makes it difficult for me to stand or walk very long without pain. And I am a music teacher at a very large Christian school here in Ohio. So that makes things difficult, and I just want it gone. And I believe that he can do it.
Amen.
And that he will.
Well, we're going to pray right now. Everybody who is listening, write Tanya down. She is praying requests for God to take away that cancer. Now, he can do it the way he wants to with the treatments, touch her life, whatever. It's God that does the healing. Alex, would you mind praying for Tanya?
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, and you are the healer, and we lift up Tanya. And Lord, I thank you so much for her witness for you, and she's a teacher at a Christian school, and she's standing for you. But Lord, we thank you for how you have healed her body thus far, and in the name of Jesus, we pray for complete healing. And in Jesus' name, we say, may those cancer cells be gone.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, give her complete healing. And Isaiah 53 says, by your stripes we are healed. And I know that you have purchased not only our redemption, but the restoration of all things. So in Jesus' name, we praise you for her healing. We believe that you are doing it even right now. And Lord, we know you work through doctors and good medicine. But Lord, we ask for something more than that, which is a miracle of you. And we lift Tanya up and we praise you for how you will heal her. And she will serve you for many, many years, as she is doing even right this moment. Bless her in all things. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Tanya, you've got thousands of people praying for you right now, so we're going to thank God for what he's doing. Amen. Let's go to Texas and talk to Alan. Alan, thank you for calling.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm glad to be talking with you guys. Hey, real quick, before I get to my question, I wanted to also tell you about a book on the Holy Spirit that I just went through last semester in my ministry class called The Spirit Himself. I cannot remember the author's name. I got the book at home, but I mean, that is an excellent, excellent book called The Spirit Himself.
Amen.
And great teaching on the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Well, amen. Thank you.
Yes. Go ahead, Nick, with your quest.
Okay. So my question is, I didn't get a chance to call yesterday. I wanted to jump back into chapter 4, verse 24. Make a comment and see what you guys thought. Way back during the Abrahamic covenant, when God made a blood covenant with Abraham, we can only assume, because it's not mentioned in the first 3 chapters of Exodus, that Moses got circumcised, but you can almost assume that he was, because he was from the tribe of Levi. His father was a Levite. His mother was a Levite, you know, so you can only assume that he was circumcised. So what I'm thinking is there in verse 24 is that apparently he had not circumcised his sons when God had already called him to go and do this task, you know, before Pharaoh and everything. And so he met him on the way in the encampment to get him in right relationship in the blood covenant with his children. What do you think?
Okay, I agree with a lot you say. I think, now, it says here, you said sons. In verse 25, it says her son. Now, again, Alex, I believe the word of God. So I believe he probably did the first son, but his second son was not. But, yes,
That's what it seems to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you know, that's a tough text, and there's not everything in that passage that we wish were there. But I think as best as we could render it, and this is Exodus 4, 24 and following, they're at this encampment, and apparently Moses had obeyed in the first son, but had delayed and neglected in the second son.
I think that's it. And I think that we talked about it, this is correction. Sometimes God's correction is pretty difficult and hard. And so I think Moses, and I think this is preparation. He said, Moses, this is not easy what I'm asking you to do. And he experienced this as well. So way to go, Alan. Thank you for your looking into the Word of God so readily. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Mick. Mick, thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I had just a hallelujah moment when you started talking about getting halfway through things and it being difficult. My son is currently in the Kentucky State Police State Trooper program, and he comes home on the weekends, and this past weekend was about halfway through moment, and he doesn't open up a lot about things. He's really personal, but he just opened up a little bit about how difficult it was, and I sent him some scriptures and things before he went back, and just been really encouraged by what you've said and want to continue to share with him as he goes down this path. It's really exciting for me to see him lean on the Lord through this, because believe it or not, being a state function, he's had to deal with a lot of things that he certainly doesn't believe just in order to pass some of their testing. So,
yeah. Well, listen, we're going to be his state trooper or patrol. Is that what I understand, your son?
Yeah, state trooper.
Yeah, I've got friends. Yeah, I've got friends that's gone through that, and it's a difficult thing. It's not easy. And so we will be praying for him. Alex, is it all right if I hey, Mick, is it all right to have his first name, or would you just rather leave that off?
Sure, yeah. His name is Noah.
Noah? Okay. Noah. Write Noah down, and halfway through state trooper school, he needs to finish up. Is it all right if I pray, Alex?
Lead us.
Father, I thank you for Mick, a dad that loves his son. I relate to that. And now Noah is wanting to follow in law enforcement in a day when, Father, it's really been tough. And a lot of folks just want to get out of it. And here he is desiring to go in it. I pray you would encourage him. And, Father, during this period of time of difficulty, of seeing how much further he's got and knowing that what he's gone through, I pray that he would be encouraged by you. I pray as David, when he was there, cave, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So I pray Noah would encourage himself in the Lord after each day, that he would strengthen himself in your word and strengthen himself in praise. And we pray for the completion, that when he's done, Father, he would be ready to serve you as a law enforcement officer, because you've said it in your word that they're ministers to us. And for you, Father, and I pray and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it exciting to hear that somebody going to law enforcement as a believer in Christ, Alex?
Amen. That is noble work.
It really is. Well, I think we'll take our last call of the day, and it's Steve in Texas. Steve, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes, you're on, brother. Go right ahead.
I told the guy that answered the phone, think about the book of Galatians, chapter 5, from 19 to verse 19 to the end of that chapter. I'm teaching a lesson this coming Sunday on the flesh versus the spirit. One of the questions our author asked at the end of the lesson was, which verse in this lesson's text for today, best points out the flesh versus the spirit. And I'm driving, so I can't look at my notes.
Okay, let me read part of that, Alex, and then we'll comment on it. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it gives the works of the flesh, which are evident, and it's a whole list. But then it says, I also told you in time past that these who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And let me list them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But it says here, the flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It is a battle, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, and I think three of the best verses are 1 John 2:15-17, where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. I mean, Bert, isn't that a clarion call to step away from the world, the flesh, the devil, walk in the Spirit, the Word of God, and the will of the Father?
Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What you do in walking is one step at a time in the right direction. So go toward God, let the Holy Spirit of God flood you, and let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. And I want to tell you, you can have victory. Victory is there. We want to pray. I hope you have these two names written down. Tanya, we're praying for her for cancer to be overcome. And we're praying for Noah that he would finish that school for troopers in Kentucky. Alex, we'll be back tomorrow for more here on Exploring the Word. We're looking forward to having those listening. And listen tomorrow again for more of the Book of Exodus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.